I'm running out of time to convince you in the elevator with your past. Us moving from Florida, seeing these incredible musicians, it just keeps you, it keeps you chiseled, it keeps you on your game. There's so many great bands here, and it's just really cool to be a part of that scene.
That's Royal Sugar. I'm Jamie Green, and this is Trading Fours. Everybody, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Jamie Green. It's the last episode of 2022. I hope you're doing well. It's been a really fun year. So many great musicians have taken the time to talk to me and to all of them and all the people behind them, whether it's their fellow bandmates or their management or all the great PR people that I get to talk to. Thank you so much. I could not do it without you. It's a labor of love for me, but I really enjoy doing this podcast, and it's a ton of fun. One of the things I really like about doing on this podcast is discovering new acts. And I think, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast a long time, one of the things that I really wanted to do was, and I love my father. My father was a great musician and a good dad, but he was very shut off, closed off. He got to be a certain age, and he just thought all good music ended. And that annoyed me quite a bit. And I was like, I am not going to be that way when I get older. So to that end, I'm always interested in younger musicians and new acts. And today's guest, Royal Sugar, is one of these new acts. They are based in Nashville. Tyler and Garrett zoomed in from Nashville. They're a ton of fun, lots of energy. And if you're a TikTok person, and I know a lot of people are TikTok people now. I am not. My 20-year-old son is, but I know it's a younger generation. They're all over it. These guys are all over TikTok and have a huge following. But that's not why you should listen to them today, because they actually are a great rock and roll, kind of a glam rock thing. It's really intriguing. And obviously, they're a really good band, and I think you're going to dig this interview. They were so much fun to talk to. They brought it. I love it when guests come in with enthusiasm and energy, and I just feed off of that. Now, the one caveat is, you know, I have a day job, and I have always remembered to turn my microphone back to my real microphone that you're hearing now, but for some reason, I'm a dope. I forgot. So my end of this interview is a crappy mic that comes on my webcam. You don't really care to hear me. Anyway, their mic sounds great. So that's why I sound like I'm in a tin can. But other than that, great interview. So let's get started. Here is my conversation with Royal Sugar.
So, you know, it's funny because, and I know this was in the release that was sent to me, but I think people who aren't aware of Nashville still think of Nashville as this country town. But I've had, you know, Damon Johnson on from Brother Kane fame. He lives in Nashville. Obviously, Jack White lives in Nashville. Lydia's Castle has been on this podcast. They're a very hard rock, almost heavy metal band. They're in Nashville. My buddy Tyson Leslie, who is the keyboardist for Vixen, is in Nashville. So let's talk about Nashville, man. Nashville's just a country town. Tell me about it.
I know. Yeah, we had that kind of instilled in our brains before we moved here too. It's country town. If you wanna make it work here, you gotta at least be Americana. If you're not gonna be country, at least be Americana. So when we moved here, we noticed, you know, there's such a distinct rock scene that was bubbling up, and it's kind of always been here. So when we got here and we realized that, it was really cool to join that, see other people doing rock music, be embraced by that community, and just like us moving from Florida, seeing these incredible musicians, it just keeps you, it keeps you chiseled, it keeps you on your game. There's so many great bands here, and it's just really cool to be a part of that scene. Aside from the countryness.
Yeah, it was a huge driving factor for us, because we wanted to get out of Florida, wanted to be in more of a creative community. And we saw that Nashville was not just country. Like, there was so much more, with like Jack White being here and Kings of Leon, and like this kind of modern rock scene coming out of Nashville. And so the first time we came here, it was like palpable.
For sure.
We were like, this is where we need to be.
We were looking at LA and New York, and before we even had a chance to visit LA and New York, we came to Nashville and we're like, okay, this is it.
Yeah.
Like, we just felt it. Everyone was so great here. Just great musicians, great people. So it was, yeah, easy choice for us.
Well, that's great. It's every time I go to Nashville, there's like three cranes up and it's just building like crazy. Yeah. Like, it's just,
I know, man.
Exploding right now.
Yeah. There's new stuff going up all the time. During COVID, I went back to Florida for a little bit, came back. There's like new restaurants, like my favorite restaurant's gone, a new one's up. It's now my new favorite. It's just so the real estate and the, you know, honestly, restaurant market. I'm hoping the venue market, we just lost an incredible venue here in Nashville, Exit Inn. And it's super sad to see that. So that, like, that's kind of the dark side of the, you know, the real estate boom, or, you know, the building boom, is we're losing some of these historic venues. So I'm hoping that kind of corrects itself.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, I've been to Nashville and I have good friends in Nashville. I haven't been there in a while. So we had this nut job that blew up downtown Nashville, like blew itself up, and a lot of clubs got like destroyed, right?
Yeah, I remember that. Wasn't that around Christmas?
It's Christmas Day.
Christmas Day.
Yeah.
During COVID. Like, it was nuts. I mean,
it was crazy.
It was wild. Like, was it last year or the year before?
I think it was year before. And we ate at that restaurant that.
Yeah. Nashville had gone through just like a shitstorm from the tornado to then COVID happening and then the bombing at the end of the year. It was just.
That's terrible.
Nuts.
Wondering locusts are going to come out next, right?
I know, yeah.
it's really cool to see, though, like the I've never been a part of a community that, you know, rallies together and surrounds people and helps people, and like it was really cool to see, like, after the tornadoes, after everything, even, you know, from the smallest, you know, event to the biggest event, Nashville just rallies around itself, and that's really cool to be a part of it.
Yeah, I think the whole like culture here is really special from the creative side, and even those examples, like when disasters happen, Nashville comes together. There are people out there with chainsaws in the streets for 12 hours a day. You know, I lost my apartment and everyone was opening their home, like letting me stay there while I was displaced for a couple weeks. And but yeah, there's just such a supportive air to Nashville, which I think is really special. The fact that all of these creative people are here, you'd think it could go one of two ways. It could be very, like,
very competitive.
And like, screw that guy, I'm better than him. But fortunately, it's the opposite. Everyone's very supportive of everyone's art and creative path. And whenever there's a show, everyone kind of comes out and wants to support them. It makes for a really amazing place as a musician, as a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
Your apartment, I mean, this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the tornado hit like in the dead of the night? Like, so tell me, are you sound asleep or like, I've been in tornadoes. They're terrifying.
Yeah, man.
So I wasn't at the apartment. My girlfriend was. I was at my bar and got the alert kind of last minute. The weather didn't even really seem that bad. No one was suspecting anything. And then a couple minutes later, she called me and was like, Germantown just got leveled. And from there, it kind of spiraled into a month and a half's worth of chaos, because then COVID happened. So we're displaced, don't have a place to live, staying at different Airbnbs and with friends. And then everyone's like, oh, the world's shutting down.
Yeah, I see ya.
So it was wild, rough times.
Definitely. Well, let's talk about a little bit of happier times. So you guys meet in college or just hanging out? Where did you guys meet exactly in Florida?
Yeah, we met in Florida at University of South Florida. I had an apartment there and Garrett was visiting a mutual friend of ours. And yeah, he just popped over one night. I had just gotten out of the shower.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember opening the door in my towel and Garrett's he's like, what's up, man? This is Garrett. He's a singer too. He plays. And I'm like, come on in. So we just like jammed in my towel for like 45 minutes. And I remember instantly like hearing his voice and like harmony. I had never sang with anyone else. And I remember singing with him and harmonizing. It was just so magnetic and easy. And I was like, I want to be around this voice. I don't care what it takes. Like, I'm going to lock him down, move to Nashville with me, like be in this band with me.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it all started. Just that one night singing together.
Yeah. It was like instant chemistry. It was my first night visiting Tampa, because I was in I was planning to move there. And it just so happened through fate, I ended up in Tyler's apartment that night. And then from that moment on, we were playing music.
And how long ago was that, fella?
Oh, this will date us.
We met when
we were 4 years old. Yeah.
Yeah, right? So you're talking to a guy with a gray beard. He's going to be 55 in February.
Yeah, no, it's been a while, and I just, it feels like yesterday, because like, even from the, you know, the singing perspective, the kind of creative mesh that we had translated into a great like songwriting partnership, and we've been writing songs since then. And I think all the trying times we went through COVID, I have an immune disorder, so I had to move back to Florida for a couple of years, so we were actually Zooming writing together, and it really brought about this energy of let's do exactly what we want to do. And not that we hadn't been doing it before, but it felt like why not do exactly what we want to do? Music is just so precious to us. The songs we're writing are so precious. Like, let's start a glam rock band. We've always wanted to do it. Yeah. When I get back to town, let's do it, man. Like, this is us. It's time. And yeah, the Zoom writing and being apart for so long, it just like brought about this really cool revitalization of, you know, our sound. And yeah.
Well, it's really interesting to me. So I'm a Gen Xer.
Yeah.
And so, and I've got two boys. I got a almost 21-year-old and an 18-year-old. What they listen to. So glam rock was big when I was a little kid.
Right.
I remember Bowie and all that stuff. What drew you guys to it? Because obviously you're not hearing it firsthand. You're digging right back in the archives.
For sure. Yeah. We both grew up with dads that, you know, turned us on to the good stuff. I think, you know, I was very drawn to Bowie, Mark Bolan, more kind of like 70s glam, the fathers of that, all the way up to, you know, Bon Jovi, Def Leppard, stuff like that, Motley Crue. And I think when we started playing together, there was this cool mesh of like, I feel like G's more in tune with like the pop stuff and the modern stuff. Yeah. And I like lean on him to be like, what's going on out there?
Yeah.
And I'm like, just Bowie. But it was a really cool moment where we were like writing a song and we're like, oh, that's kind of just like 70s rock if it was thrown into a vat of, you know, bubblegum pop. It's like it was this really cool mesh of stuff, and G's super eclectic with music, and yeah, it was a really natural, you know, mesh of like 70s 80s glam and then just like pop, you know what I mean, synths and huge choruses. We love that shit. So
yeah, and we've always had a love for like fashion and the high energy performance on stage, and you know, just kind of the flashiness of being that like big energetic anthemic rock and roll thing. And so we kind of went back through the archives and we're like,
yeah,
when did this really hit? When was this really like resonating and connecting? And you know, kind of landed on that era. We're like, we love this.
Yeah.
This is,
and after something that after
we grew up on, and
after COVID, it was like, why not, man? Like, you know, life's short. Like, let's do it. Like, highest heels we got. I got my like 7-inch heels on. You know what I mean? Like, I was like,
before
I had about 2 or 3. So I've been rehearsing in these, and it's hard as hell, man. Like shin splints. They don't tell you about that. Yeah. But yeah, it was super cool to come back out of that dark period and be like, let's go, man. Let's have fun. It's been really fun.
Well, I think that's one of the things about glam rock that's great, because there's a lot of music that takes itself way too seriously.
For sure, man.
Yeah. And it's like, and some of the stuff I listen to, it's like, God, you're just depressing the hell out of me. Like,
man, it's like, yeah, on purpose. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's what we love. And those are the bands and acts that we love. And just when you can, you can feel when someone is not taking it too seriously and they're having fun doing it. You know what I mean? You can tell when someone's in their head and they're like, how is this being? It's like, no, this is what we want to do. We're having a blast. If you're having a blast, that's fine, but we're good.
Yeah,
absolutely. So have you guys ever listened to Jellyfish at all?
I haven't.
Okay. You guys, when we get off, get on YouTube and look
at
Jelly, because you're going to, the outfits alone.
Perfect. Yeah. Man.
So this was a 90s band, but like they had pulled back, like they loved XTC and they loved all that and Bowie and a bunch of other stuff. So it's interesting how it kind of recycles. Well, I've really dug, I watched your clips and stuff and I really dug it. So we're almost, I can't believe 2022 is almost over. Can you believe that? Yeah. This year's like went by and by. So what are you guys thinking for 2023? What's your plans?
Definitely live shows. We're coming out of, retirement finally. And we got a live band put together. We got a kid named Jordan Arnold on drums, Super Killer, Jack Devine on guitar. We've been in the studio rehearsing, doing a bunch of, live show planning. And I think first of the year, our manager James is in here, right? We're going to be doing some shows. Absolutely. So we're kind of planning everything out, getting the show ready, getting the Achilles ready. We're really excited. New music video we just filmed for Fleeting Love a couple weeks ago. That'll be dropping first of the year. So it'll be a really exciting, 2023, I think, hopefully.
Those heels, when I went to Paisley Park and did the whole Prince tour, I was like, how the hell did Prince even walk in?
Oh my God, man. Like, that's like my, when I get down in the dumps, I'm like, I can't perform with these. I got to go a little shorter. I just watched, Lenny Kravitz, Prince, Bowie, all that. I'm like, they're fucking running around. Lenny Kravitz sprints around stage and like platforms. I'm like, I'll figure it out.
You need a good podiatrist, apparently.
Exactly. We need a podiatrist sponsorship.
Put that on the list to the manager. Figure out a podiatrist. Yeah. I'm also, it's interesting to me, when the first band I was in college, fellas, this is the late 80s, and we just put we take a poster and stick it on a telephone pole. That was social media.
Yeah.
The internet. So you got to do all this TikTok stuff. So talk to me about this, because you're not just doing your own stuff. You're covering stuff. You're apparently doing jokes and stuff. Is this fun for you? Is it a chore for you? I mean, I know you're not going to say you hate it, because we're
right. Hate it. Yeah. They'll delete our account. Yeah.
Yeah. We definitely had skepticisms at first. Yeah. We didn't really understand it. And then once we kind of embraced it, like Ty was saying, the whole kind of energy behind what we're doing is just having fun with it, not taking anything too seriously. And so once we embraced it a little bit, we found this entire community of people that really loved the kind of music that we were making and validated kind of the concept of this project. And yeah, it's been so much fun to just like have a good time with it, be able to create and showcase some of our recording and music. And yeah, it's been a really cool avenue for us.
Yeah,
I was gonna
agree with him saying like we were definitely very wary of it. We didn't understand it. Everyone's like, you gotta get in TikTok. I'm like, that doesn't seem like our scene, man. So we just had fun with it, and similar to like our path with starting Royal Sugar, it was just like, we're gonna have fun and we'll set a camera up. That's essentially how we treat TikTok, is like kind of a window into who we are personality wise, who we are as musicians, songs we like to cover, our own songs. And it was cool that we found, a great fan base of people who love glam rock, who love pop music, who love our weird ass personalities for some reason. And it was really cool, even as a music fan and a music listener, to be like, oh, there's like young kids out there that, know who David Bowie is. Like growing up, I would have loved to have like gone on an app and just found like 10 friends instantly that like love David Bowie. I would have loved that. So it's really cool to like even have a small hand in facilitating that somehow, but also as a music listener, being a part of that community is really cool.
I've seen, you've seen like the meme about that David Bowie was really an alien and they knew when the world was going to go to shit. That's when
he knew, man. He's like, yeah, absolutely.
So that, it's really fun for me. So my older son, he's all over about TikTok, and he's always telling me, and I got, I don't know how many thousand likes and stuff. And I was like, well, the second it's going to become really uncool is if I got on it.
You should. This would be cool.
I don't know. I feel like you got to have Twitter, you got to have Instagram, you got to have, right? And it's like, at some point, it's like, I just want to put the phone down a little
bit. Totally, man. That's the struggle. That's our struggle, absolutely. It's like, there are so many social medias now where I'm sure the next few years will bring some, and some will die, and that'll be another stress. But it's like, we definitely went through the period, especially during quarantine and COVID, where it's like, that's our only avenue to like showcase our music. So it kind of became you know, a point where we're like, okay, we have to treat this as a fun thing. Cause if it doesn't become fun, then it will destroy us. Like if you become obsessed with it and like check, how's it doing? It's like, just post what you love and then let it be. I think TikTok is actually good in that regard, where I feel like social media had this rap of like being squeaky clean, and you had to show people like, you know, life's great, here's what we're doing, we're all dolled up. And it's like TikTok kind of pulled back the veil a little bit, and you can post 10 videos a day of just doing whatever. And, you know, it kind of humanizes everyone a little bit. It was super cool.
And it's complementary to the creativity. Like it's a platform where we can show, this is how we, you know, are tracking this song, or this is how we built out this idea. And it's not something that takes away from our creativity. It actually encourages it.
Mm-hmm. Instantly. You can be like, oh, I have this idea, I'm going to post it, and not think about, you know.
So Tyler, when you went back to Florida with your help, did you move in with your folks? Where'd you go?
I did. Yeah. I moved in with my parents. And they were super helpful. I was living the bubble boy lifestyle. They were, you know, bringing groceries back. I'm like, yeah, exactly.
Have you seen the Seinfeld episode with the bubble boy?
I know. I did feel like I was in the Seinfeld episode. I was on that season last night. But yeah, it was cool for them to take me in. It kind of, honestly, like we were talking about creatively resetting and revitalizing. Like I feel like I needed that too. Cause it was like worst nightmare case scenario for me, like having immune disorder and then like a global pandemic starting is just like, holy shit. Like I need to take a beat, you know, emotionally and personally too. So it was cool, like moving back and being able to like reground and, you know, just ended up writing the songs that are going to be coming out next year and the ones we're releasing now. So it was
full album, right? That's what the plan is.
Yep. That's the plan. Absolutely. We got, I think 6 or 7 burning a hole in our Dropbox right now. So we definitely want to get those out there. Maybe EP.
Yeah.
First of the year, and then full length. Absolutely. Right behind it.
Well, that's a lot of fun. That's gotta feel good. I mean, COVID sucked for 1,000 reasons, but it's been really interesting how many people that not only wrote over Zoom or jam Kazam, right, and jam that way, or, you know, I've had people on and said, you know, I use the musician from, you know, Europe because now everybody figured out how to record at home.
Yeah.
We've all become much better at audio visual.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No matter what your profession, like everyone became a, you know, a videographer, an editor. Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
So you guys, are there people that, who's like your big, like, oh, I really wish I could have seen them live, but they're gone. I mean, Bowie, obviously. But
definitely Bowie. Definitely the Doors for me. Like Jim Morrison was, I mean, I got pictures of him all over here. You can't see, but yeah, I feel like the Doors, Jim Morrison was definitely like a huge inspiration for me in terms of like freedom of expression and like on stage, you know, energy. So I'd say like, yeah, definitely the Doors and Bowie. What about you?
Yeah, I think being able to see the Who in their prime,
mm-hmm,
Def Leppard, Bon Jovi, like all of those just kind of like
in their prime.
Big rock. Yeah, like when they were, you know, dominating, taking over the world.
You know, I never speak ill about musicians. That's like one of my caveats, but I am a little concerned about John's voice. Like, I don't know what's going on.
I know. He's just such a strong singer, and for doing it for that long, you know what I mean? At that high of a register, just like the grit rock vocal, it just takes a toll. I mean, when we were gigging a lot, like before COVID, I had like vocal nodules and I had to like relearn how to breath work and support and warming up. Like it's so important. So I feel like going pedal to metal for that many years.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
I think people also forget how much of a sport performance is. Like it is an athletic like feat to be able to get on a stage every night, to use your voice every single night to sing and push yourself and be running around and performing and beyond. It's something that it takes a lot out of you. And you know, I have a lot of respect for these guys that are still out there doing it.
Yeah, man, the Stones.
Like, jeez. It's not an easy feat to be on that level every night.
You guys want to laugh?
Yes.
So this is honestly God truth. I saw the Stones here at Arrowhead Stadium in 1989. And the reason why I went was it was totally promoted as this is their farewell tour.
No way.
This is it. They're never coming back. Like, you got to go see them now in 1989.
Right.
And here we are 30 plus years later.
That's fucking great marketing, though. Every tour is their farewell tour.
That'll be
our first tour, the farewell tour.
That would be funny. You should do that. No, I think it was Bill Wyman's last tour. So I saw Bill Wyman, and the coolest thing was Living Colour opened up, and they were awesome. They're just an awesome band.
I love going to see someone and like just falling in love with the opening act.
Yeah.
And that's like one of the best feelings. Similar to like the Rolling Stones thing. Like, I went and saw AC/DC in like 2008 or something. And they did the same thing. They're like, farewell tour. Now they're bringing in Axl Rose. They're bringing in, you know what I mean? RIP Malcolm. Yeah.
It's hard to quit, man. It's a drug in a way.
Right? Seriously, sure. Man. Yeah.
Because I think the coolest thing about performing live is you're not worried about your apartment just blew away in Nashville. You're not worried about your health issues. You're so in the moment. It's so zen, right? It's kind of a happy place to be.
For sure. Yeah. It's like you're razor thin in the moment. You couldn't think of something else if you tried. You know what I mean? Like I'm worried about getting the lyrics right and not tripping over myself. Like, I'm not worried about, you know, my B cells, you know?
Yeah. So did you read Robbie Krieger's book?
I don't think so. I read all Jim's or all Jim's poetry. That's about the extent, but I should.
Yeah, you really enjoy it. You know, one of the weirdest thing for, you know, so Robbie Krieger's like 80 now.
Yeah.
And you know, when Jim died, Robbie was only 25 years old.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So
man.
3/4 of his life has been without Jim. And like, it's just like, he's always going to be the most famous for something he did when he was 25 years old. But he's had this huge life.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's so wild, and he's probably one of the most unique rock guitarists in my opinion, because wasn't he trained in like classical flamenco? Flamenco?
Yeah. He finger picks everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's like the fact that a rock band with him and Ray and everything, like Densmore, like they're all so unique, and like how it just brought about this like weird like flamenco cabaret jazz, like he was a jazz drummer. It's like, it's so cool, like looking back at all that stuff.
I would argue that the best bands are that way, because I, you know, one of my first concerts was Van Halen.
Yeah, man.
And I always thought, okay, you got the singer is the son of a Jewish surgeon,
right? Yeah.
The bass player is a kid from Chicago who's Polish ancestry, and the guitarist and the drummer are brothers who are immigrants and are Dutch. And it's like, it kind of encapsulates America. Like, you've got,
absolutely. Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah.
But talk about like really different people, same thing with the Doors. It just, they had such different, kind of like what you guys were talking about earlier, like you bring different musical sensibilities to the group, right? And then it becomes this amalgamation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's, I think, a lot of fun.
It's so important. Yeah. And like all the bands we love, there's always a story like that where it's not always, you know, this is the exact, you know, path we want to take. It's always like 50-50. Like, we're always bouncing ideas off of each other. We come from different backgrounds. We come from different sensibilities. And like, I think that's what makes our dynamic so special, and why I enjoy writing and performing with G, is just like it's so different, but it's so easy. Like, from when we first met, it's just so easy to creatively mesh.
So why Royal Sugar? What does that mean?
Gee, you want
to...
we can't answer. No, I'm just kidding. I'll say, like, we were bouncing around ideas, like, after we were coming out of hibernation, kind of rebranding everything, and it was... those two words together, it stood out, and I was like, that sounds like it should have been a band name. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it sounds like it shouldn't have, and upon closer investigation, it wasn't. So I was like, there's a reason that I'm like worried that that's already a name. And it just felt like a really fun rock band name that hadn't been taken yet, which is super rare when you're trying to find cool names.
That's hard.
And it just, it fit. It it just fit the energy of the time, and it still fits us now. So
yeah, as soon as we said it, it was like, okay, that embodies that freedom, that just fun, energetic. You hear it and you're like, I want to find out what that's about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's hard to name a band, and if you're successful, you're stuck with it. I know Dave Grohl's still cursing the fact that he named Foo Fighters. He hates the name, but he can't rename himself.
You can't change it, man. Yeah, exactly. Right. That's where like, we got it. We locked it in, get the website. Yeah.
So you guys are on TikTok, obviously. I'll put all this in the show link so people who are getting to hear you for the first time can follow you. Where else can they find you? And they you piqued their interest with this little conversation we're having here. What's the best way to follow you?
Hopefully the social media stay put for a little bit. Hopefully I only have four in the next couple of years. So I think we're mainly on Instagram and TikTok, I would say. I think we have the other ones, but I don't think I've ever logged into them. But yeah, we have Facebook, and it's all Royal Sugar Band, I think, if you type that in.
Yeah.
Should be.
And then streaming on Spotify.
Sorry. Yeah. Spotify.
Well, I always tell my listeners they can be lazy bastards, and I put it in the show link, so they don't even have to look it up.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Yeah.
Scroll down, and if you can't get that done.
Yeah.
So do you guys into vinyl at all?
Oh, yeah, man.
So my question, this is, you're actually the last episode of the year. So I do a theme every year. This year is, because I'm a huge vinyl nerd, I've got all, yeah. I never got rid of all my poor fellow Gen X bastards that said, oh, CDs are the way to go, and they got rid of all their vinyl. I never did that, and I'm really, really happy. And I have all my dad's, like, 300 jazz
birds. Oh, records. That's like, so cool. You just,
yeah, I got my dad's whole vinyl collection as well.
It's, isn't that awesome?
It's so cool.
It's a way to connect. Well, you know, my dad's been gone for 22 years, but if I put on one of those albums, it just brings me back.
That's so cool.
So what's a vinyl album that I probably don't have in my collection, fellas, that I totally should have in my collection?
Ooh.
There's my dad, like, he's definitely a rock and roll guy. But there are a couple vinyls in there that really threw me. And there's a couple Sade records that.
Oh, dude, Sade is so good. Yeah.
What a great voice.
Sounds great on vinyl. And, you know, even if it's not your genre, anyone can put that on and be like, buttery. All right, this is.
Dude.
Isn't it kind of annoying that she's such a great singer and she's like model gorgeous both? Like, she's only get one or the other.
Yeah. Right. That was a fluke in the universe code there. It's a glitch. Yeah.
And how about you, Tyler? What do you think?
I was. One of my favorites is. I love Lenny Kravitz, and it was one of his, I think it was either his first or his second record, Mama Said, record. That's just incredible. Like, we love riffs. Like, we love like writing songs around a riff. And like, that was just like a really riff based record. And
Rock and Roll Is Dead on that. Is that?
Yeah. Mama Said, I think, It Ain't Over Till It's Over is on there.
Yeah.
But yeah, just a bunch of classics. I remember hearing It Ain't Over Till It's Over at a Lenny show and being like, that's a cover, right? Like, it was just such a like classic sounding song that I was like, there's no way.
Yeah,
I was like, that's Lenny's song.
Like a Motown song,
exactly,
with the strings. Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. You know what that whole album is? That's called Lisa, I'm So Sorry I Screwed Up, please come
exactly
back.
Exactly, man, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And she never did, but it got a great album out of it.
I did this TikTok the other day where it was like, I was joking around and there was this vinyl wall at an Airbnb, and it had like classics like Abbey Road and I think like Amy Winehouse and everything. And then there was what's it called? American Gigolo. What's the actor's name?
Oh, Richard Gere.
Richard Gere.
Yeah.
And I was joking. I was like, if you really want to throw this on side B, yeah, I'll throw that in your collection.
That's funny. No. Well, this has been a ton of fun. I hope you come to Kansas City sometime.
Absolutely, man. We'd love to.
Hopefully not early next year.
Yeah.
And if you do, let me know. I'll come out and say hi, because it's always a lot of fun to meet the people that I talk to, you know, on the podcast. So
absolutely, Jamie. This was a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for having us.
I'm running out of time to convince you in the elevator with
your passport. Royal Sugar, everybody. I told you those guys were fun. That was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. They're great. Check them out. You know I do the work for you. Down in the show links, you can see how to follow them on the web and on TikTok. A million different ways. I do follow them on Instagram, and they're also very busy on that. Very funny. You'll dig it. So, thanks so much to those two boys. Hey, it's the end of the year. This is the last podcast, unless you're a subscriber. I got one left for the subscribers. But for you regular blokes, this is it. So, once again, thank you so much for being a listener. I really appreciate it. It means a lot. And I will remember, my New Year's resolution is to always make sure that I have the real microphone on. I can't believe I did that. But like I said, you wanted to hear them, not me, so no big deal. That's going to do it. I am taking all of January off and probably will not be back until sometime in February. I am going to the Folk Alliance, which is here in Kansas City. They have this huge conference, and I am planning on interviewing some people in person. That's one of the things I really want to do in 2023 is more people in person. And as I hinted last time, I have a special thing I'm working on with one of my favorite musicians for an in-person interview that is scheduled to go on in February. It's going to be really cool, but I can't tell you until it's confirmed, because if I tell you now, it'll probably fall through, and then I'll feel like an idiot. So look forward to that. Until then, go out. Have an amazing Christmas for those of you who celebrate. New Year's, Kwanzaa, whatever you do. Hanukkah. Be kind to each other. And we'll talk in 2023. Bye-bye.